Games Radio. Wanted to give Ben a chance. Ben, what's your version of that? 1970, and the Chiefs are up by 3 points. It's in Kansas City. The Chiefs have a chance to take a 1.5 game lead. And because you're so sweet and loving on the football field, you decided to take matters into your own hands. Tell us what happened.
Well, the reason I decided, it's exactly the way Lenny described it, and rightly so. He was there, and he was part of it. But he neglected one salient point, and that is that the reason he was on the ground was because he had tripped over a fellow named Dave Hill, and that put him on the ground. And Dave Hill, chance had it, played for his same team. So Lenny needed to be touched down, otherwise he could have gotten up and advanced the ball. And being a conscientious defensive player, I wanted to touch Len down and make sure he couldn't get up and advance the ball. So,
and you touched him just like a little feather.
Well, it was this was a different time.
He thought he was a gymnast.
So I did a kind of a actually I tried to spear him, but I was going so hard I probably would have hurt myself. So I did kind of a, just a head roll on him, and as he said, Otis Taylor came up to defend his quarterback, and hope Otis is doing well. I know he's got Parkinson's, and good luck to him. But
yeah, we sent our best to Otis.
That's the way it all happened, and we tied the game and stayed in contention. And and I guess that's the year you went to Super Bowl, right, Len?
No, that was after.
Oh, all right. All right. Yeah. You were defending Super Bowl champs. That's right. And you got to give the Chiefs Super Bowl I, Super Bowl IV. Won the Super Bowl IV against the Vikings. And great teams back then. They were our nemesis, and they were fun to play.
And you know what, Ben, before we let you go, I just want to say you also started a tradition, which happens all the time every week, whereas when a team's down, somebody's got to provoke the other. You got to make something happen, and more often than not, it's not the guy that causes the foul that the referees react to. It's the guy that reacts. So, Ben, in the Hall of Fame of getting it done when it matters most, you're one of the members. We appreciate you joining us today.
Thanks. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you, sir. Well, you know what? We've got Hall of Famers all over the place because we're also joined by Sam Huff, and I figured that every Monday when we can finish the show talking with Sam Huff and Len Dawson about some of the ways that things change and sometimes they don't, I thought, Sam, it'd be kind of fun to talk about a rare thing in Washington these days, a win.
Well, you know, they got to win sometimes, and, you know, the rookie quarterback...
It's in the league rules, right, Sam?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know the team... Since I've been around that didn't win a game, I mean, you got to win one or two here or there. And that, you know, that showed up yesterday for the Redskins, who played the Carolina Panthers, and only the second start for Campbell, the quarterback. And it was a big game for him, and he made it work.
You know, Len, I just wanted to ask your opinion. It seems sometimes that the way things happen present some of the issues we've talked about better than we could have dreamed of. The fact is we've talked about how, and Sam, you've said this on a number of shows, that the worst thing that ever happened, Marv Levy said the same thing last week, actually, is when you get that communication through the helmet from the sideline. It's too much control of the players, and that went dead in Jason Campbell's helmet. He could not hear anything, so he goes ahead and calls his own play. He has to be the leader on the field, and that actually turns out to be the game-winning play.
Well, you're right about that. You know, when the quarterback is standing out there with his hands on his helmet, you know, trying to hear what somebody else is saying, what plays they're calling, you know, I never experienced that. So I don't know exactly what it would be like. But I know that once you get the quarterback involved and he's calling the plays, he knows the plays pretty darn good, I think. And he can also go to his people in that huddle and ask them for their advice. You know, who knows better how to block people than the guys who are up there doing the blocking themselves? So I'd hate to see him taken away. But today, I mean, in Little League and high school, college, quarterbacks never get to call the plays.
So let's look into this game in a little bit of detail before we go on to that collapse with the Giants, which I think marks probably the beginning of the end for the Giants season. As much as they've done well, they've turned it around, they've surprised people before, but it looks like they're imploding from within. But before we do that, one of the things I know that you were criticizing was Greg Williams and the Redskins defense. It looked as if they finally had a cohesive game plan. Tell us about that.
You're talking to me?
I'm talking about the man that covers the Redskins.
Talking to me,
I thought you were talking to Lenny Dawson. He might know more about that than I do.
That sounds like the Robert De Niro in that movie.
Well, I tell you what, they have been playing just extremely poor defense. There's a big write-up in ESPN magazine, which covers the Redskins entirely, about having 22 coaches on the staff, about Greg Williams being a dictator type of thing, and really running roughshod over the players. I mean, it's if you don't have that, you can get it off your computer and read it. I mean, it's quite extensive, and the ball players almost, you know, turning against him and his style. It's all there. So that's one of the things that's been bothering the Redskins. Last year, they were very, very good defensively. And this year, you know, without LeVar Arrington, who was a leader, a clubhouse leader, he had a falling out, I guess, with the front office and the coaching staff, and so he's now with the New York Giants. And Ryan, who was a safety, played very well. He's going with another team. So they got a lot of free agents that didn't, you know, hold up this year, and they went to other clubs. So the defense got a lot of holes in it and just hadn't played well. This was the best game against the Carolina Panthers, but the Carolina Panthers have a defensive team that they don't have a very good offensive team. But the Redskins defensively played very well against the Panthers yesterday.
Let's move on to the Giants game, because, Leonard, I know that this season has proven one thing in particular, which is any team can collapse in any given week. What do you think happened there with Vince Young, certainly a factor and a combination of skills and assets that have rarely been seen in the quarterback, with Norm Chow, I think, giving him increased confidence week to week. But besides that, to me, it had to be that the Giants lost their focus. What happened in that game yesterday?
Well, I think you look at the turnovers. Eli Manning threw a couple of interceptions that were really ill-advised throws. And, you know, the only guy that could catch it was a defensive player. And, you know, that kills you. It kills drives. It kills everything. And every week talk about turnovers, and that's the key to most every football game in the National Football League. The other guy, Young, just started playing football, having some fun, and using his assets. One is his ability to run. Now, what on earth the defensive lineman was thinking down there at the end when he had him tackled and just let him go? I don't know. I've never had any defensive lineman treat me that way, I can tell you that. But they're just – I don't know. Maybe Sam knows more than I do. But when you hear people questioning the head coach, when players are questioning the head coach, you got some problems. And that's happened. Shockey was one. I think Tiki Barber was another that let out their feelings about the head coach. And when that happens, you know, it's not going to be a situation where everybody's working in the same direction.
And then when the head coach, it was interesting to hear John Madden say, hey, he's telling the truth, he's criticizing his quarterback, but it's the truth. Do you think the way Tom Coughlin is tending to criticize in that New York media environment, where it's difficult not to find something negative that you can pull out of a player with so much pressure from the media, do you think Tom Coughlin is sort of falling into a trap where his players are now going to question the trust relationship they have with him because he criticizes them publicly, not behind closed doors?
Are you talking to me?
We're talking to you, Sam. You're the New York guy.
We're talking to you, Sam.
Okay. I believe this. I wonder who was calling the plays, and we talked about this so many times. Who was calling the plays for the New York Giants? Was it Manning, or was it called from upstairs, or was it called from the head coach? I don't know, but I know if you got a 21-point lead, I think you run the football. I don't think you put that football in the air. You run out the clock. You use the clock, and I think that's where Tiki Barber was upset in the game before that they didn't run the football enough. You know, it's a game where you have to control the ball, and you control the clock, and you control the game. And those are the three very, very important things in football. I don't care what team you're playing with, but you got to protect the lead, and you got to use that clock, and the Giants did not do it yesterday.
Well, you've got to control your team, too. And joining us is Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets for the most part in New York with the New York Daily News. Before we talk about that Jets game in the last segment, what's your take on this? Is this a media-inspired revolution, or is this something that has genuine roots that have to be taken very seriously?
I don't think it's media inspired. Tiki, I don't think it took much prodding to get him to question the play calling last week. He, in fact, first said it on his radio show the night before, and then the next day, I think it was one question from a reporter kind of set him off. And so he clearly had an agenda that he wanted to get out there. So I don't think it was really media inspired. Of course, it became a cause celeb back page stories for the next few days. And the ironic part was that Tiki was getting the ball in the fourth quarter yesterday against Tennessee as they tried to run out the clock, but they weren't gaining any yards, and they were going three and out. And, you know, that was one of the problems that led to just a total meltdown for them.
Len Dawson, 30 seconds left. You're Eli Manning, though. The score is tied. There is the perception that you're losing control of the game. What do you think of that, though, when you're in that situation? It's easy to criticize him. Is there any other option you would have given him?
You know, here's a guy that won some games in the last minute or so of ball games last year. What happened to him? Because he has proven in the past that he's capable of bringing the team back with some big plays and some big throws. That I don't know. He looks like a deer with the headlights in his eyes. You know, when I look at him, see him out there, the eyes can tell a lot about a person, and I just don't think he's comfortable. And going back to Sam, when he's talking about calling the plays, you know, if you're a quarterback, you're going to call a play that you feel very comfortable about if you're throwing the football. And that's not the case when somebody else is calling the plays.
How much of this was about a collapse by the Giants, Rich Cimini, and how much do you think it was the coming of age in some degree, a stage, if you will, in the career of what could be one of the new phenomena of the NFL and Vince Young?
A little bit of both, Nick. I think mostly a collapse by the Giants. Certainly Young has some very unique gifts. I mean, some of his runs were tremendous. But the Giants, they made three just horrible plays. There was the interception at the end that Eli was picked off trying to throw to Burris with about 30 seconds left. And they had the Kiwanuka play that, you know, we alluded to earlier where he was just had poor tackling technique and he had his head down and he thought Young had already delivered the ball. Clearly he did not. And the other play was just ridiculous. I think Tom Coughlin used the word stupid. Forearm to the helmet by Frankie Walker on Young going out of bounds. So those were just three monumental boneheaded plays that really caused the Giants' demise.
Final question before we let you go, Sam Huff. We just got 15 seconds here. This seems like the time when the Giants turn their ship around, when things are looking 100% negative. Is there any chance the Giants can turn this around?
I don't think so. I mean, you know, they've got a lot of things going on with that club right now, and now's the time you have to turn it on and all work together. And I think the Giants are in for some dark games.
Well, thanks for joining us, Sam Huff. We appreciate it. You're a class act, buddy.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back with final thoughts with Len Dawson and Rich Cimini on the New York Jets game, a team that is coming on. We'll be right back. Sports Byline, Sirius Satellite, Channel 122.